Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. We have a very special guest for this episode. Following all these requests from you lot, none other than Money Reader's favorite investment columnist and founder of Marcus Today, Marcus Padley. Now, for those of you who don't remember that back in 1998, Marcus launched Marcus Today, a very popular stock market newsletter. So it's literally one of the longest, if not the longest running newsletter in Australia that deals with stock markets and investments in general. So Marcus, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Well, a pleasure to be here, Michelle. I have to say Sydney's a little more humid than Melbourne, but I think I'll survive the 2 kilometre sweaty walk, but that's fine.
I know, right? Well, at least you got to see the sights.
I mean, certainly did, yes.
It's sunny, so we've had days of rain, but at least, you know, it's good weather just for you, Marcus.
Yeah, I'll acclimatise, I'm sure.
All right, there's plenty of topics that we can cover for those who subscribe to Money Magazine. They see your face every month, and we get all these love letters from them saying, I absolutely enjoyed Marcus's column this month.
Hundreds or thousands?
I'm thinking millions, yeah, to good. Be fair, okay. Like to be good. Exact.
Thank you for your letters, everyone.
I wanted to talk today about your latest column, which is titled Investing by Colors, Not Numbers. And what you said here is that if you work out your personality type, then your financial goals will become obvious to you, and then you can invest according to your type. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. Well, I think the finance industry, and just to make it clear, my skill set is not paying off your credit card and that sort of advice. I'm very much a stock market person. So I think the stock market industry makes noises towards investors, a lot of whom don't invest, a lot of whom are in what I call the white zone, which is inactive investors. Everyone's got a super, they'll be in a super fund or a industry fund would be the most obvious. And a lot of those inactive investors who are allowing other people to run their superannuation are possibly, if they're reading the Money Magazine, interested in the market. And I think there's a barrier to those people actually doing something active in the market, because the assumption is that everybody who is in the stock market is in what I would call the red zone. Red might stand for danger, aggressive, active. And because of that, a lot of people don't move out of inactivity because they think everyone's gambling. But so I think we need to break people up into different types of investor. And once you've worked out what you're trying to achieve, you'll see you fit into one of these five categories. And these categories will dictate to you what you should be doing, what skill sets you need, what weaknesses people generally have, what your goal is. And it all depends on goals. So I've broken things up into five different colors. And the biggest group is possibly where most of your readers are, which is this inactive group who are letting other people run their superannuation.
So you talk about the red zone, which are the active traders, for example, or what people would say as high-risk investors, almost like gambling?
Very much traders, not gambling. No, mm-hmm. You can't generalize. If we just deal with the red zone,
yes,
which I think is one of the smallest groups of investors that there is, and they're presumed to be everyone in the stock market is in this group. They're not. There are other ways to do the stock market, but traders are, there is a whole spectrum from the loudmouthed gambling idiot who's got a few dollars and he's punting away on his mobile phone.
Yes.
To the highly disciplined, professional, experienced traders who work in hedge funds, who work in broking house investment banks, who make a profession out of making money trading shares. And So there is a whole spectrum. And all the other groups, things like retirees chasing income, people in the accumulation phase, or what I call the yellow zone, trying to grow their nest egg, and the green zone, which is people who are low risk, low volatility, timing the market. Those are the other zones. But all of those different groups probably do a little bit of trading on the side. So you've probably heard even a retiree who's working off the income on shares still punts around a little bit.
Why not?
So everybody's got a little bit of red somewhere.
Yes.
I think the older you get and the older I get, the less trading I would do. And it is well understood by experienced traders, particularly professional traders, that the more impatient you are, the more aggressive you are, the more undisciplined you are, the quicker you disappear. So a lot of the red zone has a very small half-life because they
right.
burn themselves really quickly. There are all sorts of traps there. I could go on for days about the traps as you start to take an interest in the stock market and start to trade and become a trader. There are a lot of things you can stumble over. So this group generally starts out
a different color.
Some people will start out red and they'll just blow themselves up and never touch the stock market again. And that's one of the biggest crimes of trading, is that it puts people off because they don't have a structure. There are much better ways to do the stock market.
I like the idea of shades of red because I do that as well, where I have
everybody
some tech stocks.
Everybody loves a punt, Michelle.
Everybody loves a punt. But now, as you pointed out, our money readers and friends with money listeners, we're all about just making sure that you have your specific financial goal and you work through a more realistic time period. So let's unpack what you just said there. To recap, you have the white zone, the green zone, the blue zone, the yellow zone, and the red zone. Very quickly, let's go straight to the blue zone because it feels like a lot of retirees, for example, are in that zone. Tell us more about that.
It's a generalization. It's not necessarily true, but generally speaking, they're people who have built their nest egg and they're looking to earn an income off the nest egg. So success for a blue zone investor, and this would be probably the biggest group of investors, certainly in my demographic, my Marcus Today members. And they want low volatility. They don't want to be kept up at night. They don't want to be disturbed by the stock market. But they want their nest egg to provide an income. And success for them is to get to the end of the year and the nest egg's the same size, but they've managed to live, if you follow that. So glory for this group is that the nest egg grows and they earn an income. And these sort of investors are usually sensible, experienced, been around, know how it's done, keep quiet, watch everybody else trade themselves into oblivion, and quietly get on with what they do.
They just quietly watch the hard red self implode. While, as you've said in your article, which is out in our latest issue, is that a good year for a blue is finishing the year with a bigger nest egg. I feel like a lot of people want to be in that group.
I think everyone wants to be in that group. And quite honestly, as you get older and as I've got older, this is possibly not what I will do, tell you the truth. We'll come to what I will do. But this is where a lot of people want to sit. They want a life. They don't want to be concerning themselves with the stock market every day. Stock market can be a hobby, but they don't want that. They want to be doing whatever they do, seeing the grandchildren, gardening, golf, having a life.
Going on a cruise.
And they just want their income to keep rolling in. Most of these people will designate a bank account, which all the income is paid into, all the dividends are paid into. They'll fill out the paperwork for every company. Everything's paid into this bank account. And they are not concerned with the capital value of their shares. They're concerned with how much money drops into that bank account because that's what they live off. It's their income.
Yes.
It goes to an extreme where I have sat in a golf club with a bunch of blues, and one of them has said the immortal line that, Marcus, I don't care what the stock market does because I'm just earning income. All those are going to go to my children. So who cares what the share price is? And consequently, the stocks that yes. are suitable to these blue zone investors write themselves. They are so obvious. And if you were to search up any professional managed fund run by a fund manager targeting income, they're all holding the same stocks.
So now I can almost feel our Friends with Money listeners leaning into that. So my next question is, so how would a blue zone investor typically invest? What would they invest in?
The most obvious stocks before you get to the tail, the most obvious stocks are the four big banks. And the most obvious stock is the CBA. If you put up a chart of the Commonwealth Bank's performance relative to the other banks, it has blown them away over the long term. It has also blown away the market. And the CBA has more capital. It borrows less capital. So if you were to compare the CBA and Westpac, if you got a $1 million mortgage off of Westpac would go and borrow 650 grand and give you 350 of their money, whereas the CBA would give you 650 of their money and borrow 350. So their margins are bigger, their PE's higher, and they outperform. And they're low risk. One of our members claims to have the whole of his super fund in the CBA. Why bother with the others?
Whoa.
The best income stock in the world. And that is because we have franking and everybody here is this group, Blue Zone, are chasing the cash refund of franking credits.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to them.
Yes.
And that those drop into this income account as well. And it is almost like that's what I go on holiday with, renovate the house with, buy a car with, is when that check arrives once a year.
Sweet.
Otherwise, they are looking for quality, reliable stocks. Now, the CBA, the banks are not growth stocks anymore. They are well understood. They're highly researched. But because of franking credits, the banks, and particularly the CBA, feel a responsibility to keep paying you a dividend and a responsibility to keep upping the dividend. Whereas BHP might have a huge yield one year because it pays out a certain percentage of its earnings. There's a good year because the iron ore price went up. Next year, the iron ore price goes down, the dividend goes down. That's not what people want to see in their bank account, a good year, a bad year, a good year, a bad. They want every year to be predictable. So the CBA delivers a growth in dividend, if they can, and a very stable dividend. They will go to every length not to cut their dividend. The time to buy and sell banks is to buy them is when one of these seismic events happens, such as the global financial crisis, a pandemic, and in particular, the banking inquiries provided three buying opportunities in the bank sector. And rather than stress about it, I view all those precipitous moments as fabulous opportunities because it's as you come out of those disasters, that's when the accelerated money is made, even in something like banks. Otherwise, most people will just buy the banks, hold the banks, have the money drop in their bank account, live their lives.
Yes. Now, not all of us have the confidence to just put all our superannuation savings into CBA. So besides banking stocks, what else would a Blue Zone investor do?
You will see also will be real estate investment trusts. Some of them have decent yields. And they are seen as very predictable because a real estate investment trust effectively builds a building, rents it out, and the rents are often on 10-year contracts. So you've got very predictable income coming in. And some of the REITs are actually very well run, Goodman Group, for instance, and also geared to Amazon, they're geared to housing AI, data centers. So some of the REITs are of interest to income investors as well. A lot of them will hold Woolworths, Wesfarmers bought when they were yielding over 6%. They may not be at the moment, but a lot of them have bought them at lower prices, higher yields, and will never sell them because they've got capital gains tax issues. Well, not if they're in pension phase, but Those make it into blue zone investors' portfolios very easily. The stocks to watch out for are the big stocks that don't have reliable dividends, but they're big stocks. QBE keeps making it into people's portfolios because everyone can spell it. It's been a terrible long-term performer. Another obvious stock, of course, is Telstra would be in there. You can buy that just about on a 6% yield now. And there are growth options and it's essential infrastructure. Very unlikely Telstra went wrong. So you can see it's simple stuff.
There's a pattern there in terms of what a blue zone investor would do. Like you've said, the yield, dividend, predictable earnings.
Low volatility doesn't keep them awake at night. The market ignores risk, I think. We have on one of our spreadsheets, we do these pages of numbers. And on there, one of the numbers we have is ranking by size. People want to know how big a company is this? And I know what they all are, but a lot of people don't. So most of the Blue Zone stocks are going to be in the top 50, if not the top 30.
Yeah.
And the other one is ranking by volatility in the all ordinaries. So Telstra is one of the least volatile stocks in the market. So you give away a little bit of yield to have that lack of volatility because you can sleep at night. And you'll find in the least volatile 10% of the all ordinaries, most of the income stocks are sitting in there because they're mature, they've got no growth options, they're paying out most of their money back to shareholders, and they are predictable. And that's for if you're looking for quality, quality is a terrible motherhood statement. People will say, oh, look for quality stocks. Well, what does that mean to someone who's sitting at home trying to look after their quality? Well, what's a quality stock?
Yeah.
Quality means reliability. It means they have a look at their dividend record. Does it increase every year? Almost all these stocks have that.
There will be no surprises.
And look at their earnings. And what you don't want to see is rolling hills.
It strikes me that there's no such thing as easy money. And some people will go into the stock market for the first time, use ETFs, for example, because that's the easy way. But in your, you know, many years of experience, that's just a recipe for disaster. You always have to do your research.
As I say, I could promise you 50%. Some of the exchange traded fund, anything that promises you 10% is giving you your capital back. Because you can't generate 10% out of equities. So it's about marketing. So be very careful, exchange-traded funds and yield, because that was a very popular area for exchange-traded funds for a few years when interest rates were next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, oh, we're going to generate a 6% yield for you, 10% yield for you. No, you won't.
Be very careful. Make a note on that. An amazing conversation here. I think all the people who wrote to us, here you are. We've kicked off with this podcast episode on which color investor you are. And then maybe, hopefully, we'll talk about more topics in the future, Marcus.
I look forward to Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover via our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. Now, if you want to know more about Marcus and what we just discussed today, check out marcustoday.com.au as well. So that's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.